Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
TalkSTL.com, Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the war room of the O'Keefe Think Tank, this is Real Spoilers, episode 134, in which we will James Bond up the joint.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
There's
moving on!
They're moving on.
Not to use the lingo.
Not to get all jargony on you. So, let's knock out introductions out of the way so we can jump in.
I'm Blake Fail.
I'm Dan Grady.
I'm Joe Battisi.
I'm Kevin Brackett.
And I'm Tom O'Keefe. So, there you go. Real quick.
I feel like we should have been like, Fail. Blake Fail.
Yeah, well, we missed our window.
It's already over.
It doesn't do work it now. As well. Doesn't
That's the magic of
good.
Editing.
Yeah. We'll fix it in post.
So, real quick, don't forget, we'll knock this out of the top. We're available on iTunes. Go there, rate and review and subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. If you like what you hear, you're on our Facebook page, let's just say it's called, I don't know, facebook.com/realspoilers.
Just throwing that out there.
It
may or may not be that.
You could click the share button, share that with your friends. If you like the show, perhaps they like the show. That's the way marketing works. And so it helps us a lot. We greatly appreciate it when you do it. So.
Don't we have a website?
We do. I forget to mention that sometimes, but yeah, if you
and
just want to,
sometimes you mean
fancy
every time.
I mean every time, yeah. So if you, it's pretty spiffy looking. So if you want to swing by there, it's just realspoilers.com. For some reason, there it's with three E's.
Because Real Spoilers got picked. Somebody picked it up already.
Somebody,
it was awful.
Yeah,
but you can type in real realspoilers.com and it still directs you there.
Look at that. That's why he's in charge of that stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
What if I typed in real spoilers? Would it get me there?
No.
What about real.spoilers?
How many domains do you want
what
to buy,
about realspoilers.fm?
How about .gov? Can we
do
tax write-off
or
something?
I think we can do that.
.edu.
We are a non-profit, so we should be able to do it.
.uk.
.mil. .milf.
Isn't the new Hunger Games like some sort of .dot something else? Like
yeah, they're
dot,
doing the .dot movie.
That's it.
.dot movie is the new one that they're trying to get the studios
really?
To
like,
use.
So like Hunger Games, whatever .dot movie?
Yeah, I don't. Doesn't I don't seem like it's taken off.
St. Louis .dot beer.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Good.
There's
nice.
A .dot beer extension now. It's awesome.
How about that? Nice. I just think that's going to be a hard sell to get people to adapt to that. But
I own a comicrackcom.
What's that?
A comicrackcom. That's mine.
Really? How about that?
You do?
Yep. Oh. I haven't done anything with
it. I thought you were making a Wayne's World joke.
No, I totally
This is going to be like, you don't even own a comic, do you need
a
rack?
That's not even true.
So, anyway.
Let alone multiple guns.
Yeah.
Spectre.
Yes.
Well, Joe.
Yay.
Started.
All right. So, if you've seen the other three movies, you kind of know where we are. So we
I
left
haven't.
Off.
What happened?
There have been others?
No.
Can you start from the beginning?
Start from episode.
That's why I was so confused.
Casino Royale and go forward. So we know that Ralph Fiennes has taken over as M since Moneypenny.
Judi Dench
has died.
Dame Judi Dench
died in the last one.
Kaboom.
Kablooey. So we start.
Inadvertent
we open
spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't really spoil that one. I figure everybody saw. I've made over $1 billion. They saw Skyfall.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what we do. Yeah,
it's true. So we open up in Mexico during a Day of the Dead parade.
You have to say Dia de los Muertes.
I'm not saying that.
No.
Did anyone else get annoyed by the fact that the drummers or whatever, it didn't match the drums that were going on screen?
Oh, really? Was it off sync?
Oh, it was
really.
It was really
no bad.
Man,
I'll tell you that.
And
it tried to be.
It's
tried to
be. It's the actual soundtrack of the movie, I think. And so, but they, But like, why focus on those drummers if you're not actually using?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What they're drumming to? It was it like took me out for a second.
I did not notice that.
Yeah. Neither did I.
I was actually kind of like, that's kind of a cool Halloween costume.
That is a good.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. I'm like, I could do that.
I like that costume.
And yeah, I love tracking shots. And I was like,
yeah, I love tracking shots too. They should do one sometime.
Yeah. Did you see the fake out when they went to the poster?
There
and then
was
they
like
turned to the
a
stair.
Bunch of fake outs.
I mean, I get it when you're Alfred Hitchcock filming Rope and you can only hold so much film in the canister. Yeah. But like, if you're going to do it nowadays and try to pull one off, why don't you do it?
Do it for real.
There's a movie out there that's 2.5 hours long, one shot.
Yeah. Russian Ark.
What's that?
Russian Ark.
Man of Steel.
Oh, have you seen Russian Ark?
No, I'm kidding.
No.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Russian Ark?
No.
It's one shot.
Really?
Yeah. It's one shot in a museum.
Really?
Check it out.
Oh, okay. Right. There's a new movie called Veronica, and it's 2.5 hours. It just came out 2015. It's a foreign film, and it looks pretty cool. I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, it's like a real. It looks like a film. You know, it doesn't look like. Handy cam. It's not a found footage. They filmed it, and the look of it is like a film with great cinematography, but it's one shot. It's like, I don't know how logistically they're getting in cars, out of cars. I mean, it's from a technical standpoint to make a film that
just the battery on that camera.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be.
So is it one shot moving like a tracking shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
The movie
I'm talking about, Russian Ark, is one take, and it's basically, I mean, they basically, if you haven't seen
it. Is it stagnant? Is the camera?
No. No. Okay. It's actually a moving tracking shot, but it's through a museum. So basically they had like.
Cut out walls and they would go.
It's a beautiful movie. And, but they have like this, like you can anticipate that, I guess the cast in each one of the rooms, like, you know, museums, like they have room after
I see
room
what
after
you're
room.
Saying. Right.
So like they just knew that like, as soon as the camera comes in, start doing your thing.
Yeah.
And
right.
they shot it like 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And
this one did. Wow. This Veronica did 3 takes too. And the one they used is the one shot. I think that's cool.
So it can be done.
Yeah. It's amazing. So if you're going to do 5 minutes of a tracking shot,
here's my other,
minutes, you know,
my other complaint about this tracking shot is that nothing interesting happens.
No, it's just people moving around.
Yeah. Like, so
it's a chance to hear the dum dum dum.
Yeah,
that's it.
So it's like, if you're gonna do that and you're gonna cheat, then like as soon as they get to like, oh, and now the action's gonna start,
right,
it like clicks into the regular movie mode, and I was like, boo,
right?
Yeah. I was instantly like, the movie instantly had me like, oh,
yeah, I thought it was cool when I was watching because I'm like, oh, I love tracking shots. Mm-hmm. This is going to be neat. And then they get up an elevator and go to a rooftop, and then they stop the tracking shot and start cutting again
when
the action starts. And I'm like, wait a minute. You just did an entire tracking shot to get to the rooftop. He gets a gun out. I thought it was kind of cool how like it panned around like from the sky looking down at the roof.
Right,
he's got a gun.
And he's walking on the roof casually.
He just
casually.
Left that lady there.
He did.
Yeah. And he's like, I'll be right back, or this shouldn't take long. Nope. And so he's walking with the gun, and it pans around the back of him, and he goes to the roof, and he's going to target someone through a window.
I think so.
And then it cuts to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why did you just waste that whole setup?
I guess so he is tracking this guy through the crowd, and he ends up seeing him go into another building, and he's kind of got this chick with him because he's James Bond. Yeah. So they go up to the room, and he gets out of his Day of the Dead gear, and he walks out the window, and he's like, he sees this meeting take place, and there's 3 people in this room, and they're talking about, you know, everything's ready to go, the stadium is going to blow up at this time, and then I'm going to go meet with the Pale King, and then, you know, so that, you know, we're immediately starting to get more information about what we're going into in this movie.
Oh, that was Senor Plot Device.
That's exactly what that was. Yeah.
Senor Exposition.
So then, like, I think one of the henchmen kind of sees. So James is positioned himself where he's got a little rifle, and he's got an earpiece, and he's hearing all the conversation. And then one of the henchmen sees him, and he's like, "Oh crap, I'm an awful spy." And he ends up having to he shoots.
He does get caught a lot.
He gets caught a lot
for a great spy. He gets caught a
lot. He is constantly getting caught.
Yeah.
But he always gets away.
Yeah. So he ends up killing everybody, and then he accidentally blows. He shoots the bomb itself that they were going to plant, and ends up blowing up half of this town.
Oh, is
town.
That what happened?
See, I couldn't figure out what blew up either.
I thought, what the hell?
He shot the suitcase.
But they said they were all set at the stadium, so I thought the bombs were already planted.
Yeah,
so
no, I thought it was
so
in the suitcase.
So then I thought maybe someone was giving someone a suitcase of money, quote unquote, but it, like, he wanted to blow them up. Like, I could not figure out why.
He definitely took a shot at the suitcase.
Yeah,
and then everything
I just
blew
couldn't
up.
Figure out why. Okay, that makes more sense.
I'm amazed that dude still makes it out because he like had just exited the room.
Yeah, yeah,
and
half the building
is blown
up.
Yeah. Okay, so complaint number two. So after the tracking shot complaint, okay, building has blown up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, walk down the block. Day of the Dead celebration. Yay. No police officers trying to protect people.
These buildings
people.
Drop like,
I mean,
all the time
a building
over there.
Has
old
exploded.
Buildings,
it's
they're
Mexico.
A building has come on, bro. I just came from there.
But I mean,
there's buildings exploding everywhere.
This guy was in like three exploding buildings on his honeymoon.
But you know, I mean, it's just that the Bond. So these James Bond movies have felt like they kind of started off and they're more set in reality. I mean, it's James Bond. There's action. There's great set
so,
pieces.
So let me stop you there. They're these last four James Bond movies have all the action and the set pieces.
Right. That's, like that's you, what I'm saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, in set reality.
And that's, I will also say this is the most James Bondy of this series.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I mean, like they go
they have,
full
they have gone
villain
full,
layer.
Yeah, they've gone
like,
full on Bond.
But they switch the tone in the middle of like this,
you know,
reboot, you know?
Huge Bond fan. So
I'm with you.
I noticed at the end of Skyfall, which I think is like out of the Daniel Craig, the best.
I think Casino Royale is the best, but Skyfall's a close second.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Skyfall.
They're very close.
Yes.
Yeah. But I noticed at the very end of Skyfall when they started, I was like,
all the pieces
they're
were laid
rebooting
out.
This.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, okay, we got a new Q. We've got a new M. Oh, there's Moneypenny. And and they started playing the music and showing the Aston Martin.
Correct.
And Skyfall, I was like, they're going to go campy.
Mm. See, I wasn't sure. Like, I thought they would go, okay, we're going to keep all of these. So we're going to keep these elements. So like throughout the entire series, M and Bond kind of have that tumultuous, like M knows
always
that Bond gets the job done, but he doesn't appreciate them. Like,
he's like the Dean.
So like I thought, I'm like, okay, you can have that. That's fine.
Yeah.
You can have the quirky little relationship between Q and James. Mm-hmm. You can have the James hitting on Moneypenny constantly.
Yep.
That's fine. Like all of that works in this new James Bond era.
But they were clearly going like, hey, we're gonna just do
correct.
It like, now that we've gone through like the reboot and the sort of
all
birth,
of our pieces
birth.
Are in place.
Well, like I think the thing that's kind of annoying is so they the grittiness makes sense in the reboot because he's building themselves up to the James Bond that you know.
Yeah, right.
But
they were coming off of the Bourne movies, which sort of like took over as like the new spy movie.
But they start going camp with everything else, but they leave the same gritty Bond.
Right, exactly.
Right.
He's not the charismatic, you know, likable ladies man.
He's the gritty
like,
Marine.
I mean, if you see Roger Moore's first Bond, for his first two Bond movies, he wasn't like the, you know, the bad one-liner spewing sweater vest wearing guy that he was in the end.
Girdle wearing.
Pierce Brosnan and GoldenEye was pretty badass.
Yeah.
And then it
went
down.
And then it went like gadget.
Timothy Dalton gets criticized.
Timothy Dalton did.
And he was actually,
I like those a lot.
He, you know, you look at those hold up. It's because he was gritty at a time when everybody's like, oh, I wanted him to be funny. So this is happened before where they like started out and then they sort of like
makes sense. I guess I just didn't expect it. I'm like, especially coming out of Skyfall being so strong
and the way they market it too, that they're marketing like it's like a, it's got a similar feel to Skyfall and everything. Yeah, so
it just seemed dark and serious.
You
and I didn't
think
expect
that when you bring everybody back, like has everybody been part of all four? Who directed one? Who directed Casino Royale?
Well, no, Sam Mendes was
Sam
Skyfall.
Mendes only did Skyfall.
He didn't do Quantum of Solace.
No.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so now the chase is on. The guy in question has gotten away. James is kind of chasing him throughout the crowd, and then there's a helicopter scene, which was fine. Like, it wasn't anything.
I thought it was cool. I've never seen people fight on the outside of a helicopter.
I did like it when he got kicked out of the fucking helicopter.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I was like, that was a cool.
We won't see him again.
That was a cool.
My
fight.
Only
like,
problem was,
dead.
I was like, why did you start attacking the pilot immediately? Like, just let that guy fly it.
Right.
Take care of the guy in the back, then go get the pilot.
Well, there didn't seem to be much regard for everybody
at all.
Like, there was a lot of people underneath that helicopter.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a cool set piece where the helicopter is actually doing loops and doing like backward flips
and they're falling
and they're rolling.
Yeah,
pretty well done.
I liked that. Yeah, I thought it was fun.
And then he ends up kicking the guy out of the helicopter, kills the guy, and then throws the pilot out of the helicopter.
That's probably my favorite part. Yeah.
And then he just kind of takes
and
off.
And then he's nosediving, and he has to pull, of course, yeah. pull the stick. You know,
stalls.
And
just, and
yeah, easy, just, Kevin. Wow. And just kind of takes off into the sunset. And yeah. then we're, which was weird because, like, I felt like in all of the James Bond movies, you get an action set piece.
At the opening, yeah.
And then you get the
theme song.
Down the barrel of the gun.
Yeah.
That they flipped it. So you,
yeah,
get the,
right.
you get the barrel of the gun, first. And then you go into the action
which was
set
a more
piece.
Classic. That's what the old movies
they
used
did?
To come out
no,
and shoot
it's,
the
it's
yeah.
barrel set piece theme song with naked lady
right.
shadows.
Right. So
and shirtless.
Which, by the
Daniel
way,
Craig
I now. Did not like this theme song.
I saw it was Sam Smith.
It was yeah.
Didn't like it.
Meh. Didn't like the song.
Well, when you come on, I mean,
Skyfall was
Adele.
Good.
Skyfall was good.
Adele's was great.
Yeah.
It was.
The song was
it
boring,
really
but
well.
It was boring.
In its defense, it fits the film.
Oh.
I did
I
like
we,
the,
see where
the animation.
Sounds.
You know,
yeah.
Because
like, yeah.
they always have like the little animation thing, and like the Chris Cornell had the sort of like
the Chris Cornell
2D animation.
Yeah,
this
no,
was
I
more
like
of like the
yeah.
the whole Spectre Octopus thing, which
yeah.
was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I also like.
I don't know about the whole tentacle porn vibe that was going
I
on.
I know, right?
Isn't that weird when the octopus is all
yeah,
over a naked
stuff
woman?
Going on. Yeah.
I mean, I'm the naked woman part, cool, but I'm like, there's octopus stuff?
Like, you took this octopusy thing a little too literally.
Yeah, that literally it was octopusy, yeah.
Have they ever referenced, like in any of the, in this entire series, do they ever go back and reference movies and villains from other movies? Like, is that a thing? Or do they just kind of like, okay, so GoldenEye or Goldfinger happened. Let's go to the next one. Do they
yeah,
reference there, Goldfinger?
There's reference to
his wife.
I would say they've referenced his wife dying before.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was on Her Majesty's Secret
right?
Service.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
I have an awesome poster for that.
Yeah. They've.
Well, so in this one,
loosely.
You kind of have to see Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace,
oh,
and
yeah.
Skyfall.
Yeah.
For the, not
it's
for it to make
they
sense,
connected the dots.
But
yeah,
everything is connected.
And they don't really do a good job of catching you up. They
don't.
Just assume that you watched them right away.
Correct.
Because I barely remember Mr. White.
Yeah. I didn't remember that
yeah.
guy at all.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
I remember. I didn't remember him 1%.
So when they bring
was...
up like Lashif, who's the bad guy,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then Javier Bardem
yeah.
from Skyfall.
But I'm like, what,
he was
pretty
fresh.
Was he Quantum
yeah.
of Solace? So yeah. like, I can't remember.
What did he? What is he from? I don't remember. What did,
Quantum
he, what did he do?
Yeah. He was the bad guy.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Mr. White?
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's just so forgettable.
He was the bad guy in the beginning, and then they had the other guy, the French guy.
Yeah.
Because Quantum of Solace, what's weird about that is that like it was during the writer's strike. So it starts out and
oh.
then it's like and it ends up in a hotel in the desert. It's just
oh,
that's
okay.
why it's like
maybe
that's
why
it's
why
half of an
so
okay
bad.
Movie.
Yeah, maybe that's why I don't remember
okay.
him.
Okay.
okay. Yeah.
That makes sense. So we flash back to London and Bond is in M's office and M is kind of giving him the riot act. He's like, What were you doing there? He's like, I had vacation time. I'm like, James, you always have like you are always on vacation
at the right worst, place at yeah. the right time.
So he's like a U.S. president.
Right. So they ground him. They say, that's it. You're done. We've got this. This thing is coming in.
Moriarty's coming in.
Yeah.
yeah.
When he walked out, I was like, why do I know that guy? And the C, who is the Max, is this other character. Who's,
by the way, there's one line in the movie where, like, we know what, where Ralph finds, like, we know what C stands
yeah,
for.
Right, yeah, yeah. I turned to Katie. I saw her. I go, yes. And he's
and
like, careless.
Like,
and I'm
yeah,
like, no. Yeah. We all, they did that on
yeah,
purpose.
We
clearly. We knew what they wanted to say. He should have just not explained it. He
yeah.
should have just
yeah.
said,
yeah.
we know
just
what
leave,
C stands
just leave
for.
That alone.
Because, yeah,
alone.
Everyone's like, yes.
The C word.
The C word. So, you know, there's another part. There's another agency that is going to fold into.
It's their like Homeland Security,
right? They're gonna. Thing. It's gonna be a worldwide security firm.
Yeah. Well, this
quote
is
unquote.
This is post Mission Impossible 5.
Yeah.
I was gonna say. Well, this is also post the last movie where they blew up the. You know,
oh yeah,
yeah,
the
MI
six. MI six.
This
is
the
same plot.
It is the exact same plot
5.
From Mission
yes.
Impossible 5.
It's there's the new spy organization that's going to assume the old spy organization
yes.
because they have. They don't approve of their old
their
ways.
Old,
their
it
old
did
school.
Seem familiar.
And
the
then,
plot did seem
and
familiar.
Then, and then their main spy, right, goes rogue
yes.
In order to prove that all of their problems come from a
yes.
secret organization that nobody but him believes exists.
Right.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
It's the same
yeah.
damn movie.
It is.
No, wait. Mission Impossible 5 was good.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
I will say I enjoyed this movie.
I liked it.
No, I really liked it.
But I mean, they could have called this James Bond retcon.
It was entertaining. I just didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It's not. I don't think it was a bad movie. It was okay.
It did not need to be 2.5 hours.
Oh, it did not. I thought
the action was fine, but there was nothing really all that memorable. It felt like kind of a greatest hits. You remember, you like that thing where he did the thing in the mountains? Let's do it again.
Right.
And it's
absolutely like cherry picked throughout the history of all the key moments.
Casino Royale. That opening scene is awesome.
When they're walking on the beams.
That's amazing.
That's an amazing action
set
piece.
And that scene was a statement.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That scene set the tone.
We are different.
We're not doing what you've been seeing.
There's no more missile launchers coming out of our Aston Martin. We're not jumping across buildings.
We're not going to just do one karate chop and he's knocked out. That's not the way this is going to work.
The train sequence from Russia with Love.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
It amplifies it, but it is pretty much a series of scenes from other Bond movies with more
money.
Intensity and action.
Yeah. And from Russia with Love is the first time you see Blofeld.
Yeah.
So. Yes, correct.
Yeah.
And I also didn't like that. So when they weren't doing action, because the action scenes were fine, though, but what was going on in between the action scenes was so boring.
It had moments like I liked seeing James try to work this out. But like
everybody spoke so slowly,
purposefully.
Some parts were really long.
And some scenes you need that because you're like it's a big dramatic scene. But it felt like every scene was doing that.
Yeah,
like they could have got 30 minutes back just by shaving the pauses out between words.
Right. Yeah.
Like it was just so. You know, and you do that when it's something really important, but it's, you know, I mean, I say it in marketing all the time, my day job, all italics is the same as no italics.
Correct.
And so they kind of end up highlighting everything. If you highlight the whole textbook, you highlighted none of it.
Right.
And like, that's what they did. And it was just, it definitely had moments so slow where I was, and like,
they spent $300 million. They're like, we better get a freaking shot of that place that we had to rent out.
And that was what I was saying when you were like, it ended up on screen. And I said, unfortunately, it was because, you know, it's like when they go to Tangiers and then there's like 4 minutes of them just strolling just through the streets of Tangiers.
There's a lot of walking in this.
And I'm like, I get it. You're in Tangiers.
Right.
I believe you.
Like, you're in Rome or you're in wherever.
Yeah.
I don't need to see your passport stamped. Like, it's, I get it. And it just kept doing it time and time. Again, like it felt like the movie was like between the pauses and establishing shots, you could pull 40 minutes out of this movie.
Absolutely.
Well, maybe like the Bureau of Tourism gave them money to the film.
No, I really think that might have been what was going on.
I think so, to get them to show Rome and Tangiers and all that and paid for the movie. So they're like,
don't just come in and blow it up.
Yeah.
Don't just come in and make us look like weird foreigner villains.
Yeah. Right, right.
Help you pay off some of that $350 million budget.
Don't worry. We got you.
Yeah.
So
it's one of the first movies where the director's cut needs to be shorter.
Right.
Yeah.
So they kind of say, you know, they give the Bond is kind of he's like, I'm on to something. Something is going on. Give me some time. He's like, you're done.
Yeah.
So he ends up going to see Q.
he gives
and
him a watch.
I like Q a lot. Like this Q, I thought John Cleese was amazing as Q. Like you could not have cast a better Q than John Cleese. But then there's this kid who I like as well. Like he's just nerdy enough. He reminds me of the guy who plays Enigma on Gotham, except better. You know?
Well, and I do like the fact that like your technology guy
is a young kid.
Is young.
Yeah.
That's kind of a hacker.
Yeah, like
right.
That's what
he should be. But not without being like a
he doesn't have his hat on sideways and
yeah, it's like not a hacker.
He's wearing like a tap out T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Like Dr. Doom, Victor Von Doom from.
Actually, he wasn't. He. Do you see what he said?
What
he was like? People aren't wrong. That movie's a piece of garbage.
Did he really?
Yeah.
He just did.
It's
like not
funny.
Too long ago. He's like, I don't know what happened.
That's pretty.
I have
funny.
No idea. I was in it for about 10 minutes, and they. Now I'm. Then I wasn't.
Well, has he seen it? I'm like, Kate
Mara. I'm sure he hasn't seen it. Kate Mara's like, no, I never saw it. Was that a thing? Is that a movie? I don't know. So he goes down to see Q, and Q ends up having to inject him with smart blood, which is like a tracking, like nanotechnology, so he's constantly being tracked.
Yeah.
Which was a horrible, but they completely disregard altogether.
I feel like that there was like a, much bigger part of some that of that written originally.
I think so.
That okay. they must have just ditched because they never really.
Yeah,
they reference it.
He's there.
Yeah, yeah. The one, okay. the guy who's in who's the head of MI6 does not have access.
Yeah, he doesn't
to any
have.
Of it.
He, so just, he, calls, he calls just calls.
He
calls Q.
Q's like,
he better be in London.
He's in Chelsea.
Yeah, but he's really in Austria.
Yeah,
I think
right.
But it's like that's the only time it comes up, and I thought they're setting this up for what happened is James Bond is going to be captured or trapped,
right?
And then they're going to find him to save him with the smart blood, right?
No
payout.
Yeah,
no.
Totally.
No.
That one was going to be some payout, sort of remote.
Yeah,
the payout
cure.
Is yeah. delete all the records yeah. of the smart blood, which
Chekhov's
comes into play.
Load it with blanks on that
yeah,
one.
Right. Yeah.
So this is where we see the new Aston Martin. And he was like, oh, very nice. He's like, yeah, 009 is coming down to pick that up here
yeah,
in a second.
That was hilarious.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
And I kind of, there's another scene later where Q comes down and the car is going, like, he's like, oh, 009's here to pick up the car. Like, I was hoping to see, like, who, a 009.
Right. Yeah.
Like, as
yeah.
like a gag or something. Like, I didn't know. I don't know what I would have expected, but like have it be
Idris Elba.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Or like Damian.
Yeah.
Damian Lewis. Yeah. Actually, the other name that got tossed around was Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm like, all right, if you can be Superman and James Bond, your career's yeah, I mean, done. You're
yeah.
over. You're,
it would be
anything else.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have alluded to a future James.
Yeah, which would have been nice.
I like it, though. So when he doesn't give him the car, though, and he says, you can have this watch. And he's like, oh, yeah, what does it do? And he's like, well, you can tell the time with it. That was great.
And then you see, like, they walk past.
He does set up one thing, though. He's like, if you set the alarm.
Right.
And they just kind of look at each other yeah. and, like, you know.
It's the alarm is very loud. Oh, is the yeah. line. Okay. It's like, yeah, okay, yeah. right on.
You can use it to take out Dr. Evil.
yeah. they do actually show the Aston Martin from the previous movie,
yeah.
which I thought was a funny line where he's like, I told you to bring it back in one piece, not one piece of the car. I was like, that's a good yeah. line. I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, the Q interactions are great.
I like him. That kid's really good.
Mm-hmm. But, I like him. He was, I first saw him in, what was the Wachowski movie? He was in...
Oh,
Cloud Atlas.
Oh, yeah. I really liked yeah. him in that, and I hadn't seen him in a lot of stuff. I saw him in that, and then he was cast as Q,
yeah.
and hopefully we yeah. see more of him. He's a good actor.
Probably,
I'm sure
well,
he will.
Yeah, it may not be
he
the same
James Bond.
He was
supposed to play Freddie Mercury. And then,
yeah.
Oh, I could
yeah.
totally
and I
see
hope
that.
They go that route.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be
so,
oh.
So one thing I'm wondering, so we know Daniel Craig has already said he's done with the series.
He hasn't, he's
yeah,
backtracked.
But then he's backtracked.
Yeah. I mean, they...
Then he's like, yeah, I just don't want to think about it right now.
Yeah, because he's contracted for one more.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize he's contracted
but
for
he
one more.
But he said such crappy things.
He did.
Like, why would you
I
want
guess,
him?
I
yeah. feel like in his defense, and I'm, it's a funny thing to say, but like he had just got done busting his ass filming
yeah.
this movie, and people
getting,
like people were
injured.
Correct.
He had
yeah.
injured.
Like, the day,
injured Bautista,
yeah, which is weird. You'd think you.
Well, I know
be
it's
got to
be
guy.
During that train scene, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
that train
be.
Scene was insane.
That was great.
Dislocated.
In well, like
insane. Nose. I think.
Oh, really?
So what, yeah. one thing. I mean, like, what he's like almost 50 now. If
yeah.
he's not 50. Staying in shape, the kind of shape he needs to
yeah.
be for James
he's
Bond.
Not in the same shape as
no,
he was.
No, you can
Casino
see a
Roy.
Little bit of a punch, and that's funny because like when in the opening credits where they show like where
yeah.
he's all, like one that's either not his body or there's a reason why it's all dark
just
from the pecs down.
His pecs, yeah.
Because I don't think he's capable
yeah.
of having.
He
that
may not be. Hey, he likes
around.
Gummy bears. There's nothing wrong yeah. with it.
It's actually
he's working on it.
I think that's the reason. Another Hugh Jackman's like, I can't do this anymore.
No, Hugh Jackman even said he's like, I cannot continue to put the stress on my body
right.
that these
and Hugh
movies
Jackman
require.
Looks more buff in every
yeah.
movie as
yeah.
he gets older. Like,
he would say yeah. a part of how he does that in those scenes where you really see him with his shirt off is
yeah.
he doesn't. He like has to dehydrate himself.
Oh, yeah, that's how
body. Of definition,
yeah.
so like,
which I believe, that
he was saying that when he was filming some of those,
you do a
scenes,
salt diet.
Yeah, he was almost about to pass out because
okay.
he had water.
What was
in, like,
that? There's that one
something.
Scene where, he, like, oh, it's in Days of Future Past when he's standing, they shoot him, and it's like Jesus.
Yeah.
Call him
he didn't
huge
look
jack
like,
man
yeah.
for
huge
no reason,
jacked man.
Yeah.
But actually, I mean, Craig even said when he did, I think he did Casino Royale, and then he went on to do. The
girl
with
the
dragon
tattoo,
and he's like, I had gotten into the best shape of my life for Casino Royale, and they're like, hey, by the way, lose 30 pounds.
Yeah,
and he was like, what?
You can't look like that for
yeah.
being a writer.
Yeah, that's not a thing. You can't do that. So, yeah, he definitely there are
well,
some.
I,
scenes,
I just wonder
like he
it,
wear he's his suits have been very tailored.
Yeah,
and he looks like a brick poop house in those suits in the last three movies. In this one, the suits are just as tailored, but
they don't look like they're fitting
they're
like they used
roomier.
To.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah
they're
they've
a little
got some
roomier
flexibility.
What I'm wondering is
gotta
if we'll
a lot
see,
of punches in that suit though.
Right. If we'll see a lot of the other cast that they've established in another Bond movie without this Bond.
I think
they've done that.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it before.
Q was the same Q. I think M might have been the same M.
Yeah, for
Moneypenny was the same. I mean, they definitely rolled. They had that consistency with them.
Right.
In fact, I think Desmond Lewis, who was original Q, did cross paths with John Cleese before John Cleese became.
Is that right?
I think so.
Man, I haven't seen those.
There's definitely
forever.
Yeah. Because
I really wish they would have ended up doing the. James Bond is a like code name.
That's what I think that idea
explain
is
why they change.
And
yeah.
I understand that's not the way it is in the books, but when you have a franchise that's been going for 50 years,
right?
Yeah, we're past the point of the books anyway.
Yeah,
and at this point, honestly, I think they could either try to come up with original material and original plot devices, or start remaking the books.
Yeah, but I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea. Like so. You know, you have a ending to this one, and then the next one, you have a new 007.
Like, yeah.
And James Bond is the real world moniker for 007.
Yeah. Like, which would be awesome. Like, yeah. I think that's more believable. You know, you could at least that way you could explain why Sean Connery, Roger Moore, George Lazenby,
or
Timothy
Idris
Dalton.
Elba more. Yeah. You know, how do you go with the same cast except for Bond and it's Idris Elba? Yeah.
And then you still have, you know, the same Q, and then that can switch out because they're all just monikers for a different
right
position.
And each person
MI6.
can play Bond differently.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
the Sean Connery Bond is different from the Timothy Dalton Bond.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they have different personalities.
They do a Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly. It could be exactly like Doctor Who.
Yeah. yeah.
So, we learn that the guy that Bond was chasing was part of this organization that nobody...
Via recorded message.
Correct. That nobody really knows about. The Pale King doesn't. Nobody knows who the Pale King is. So, we find out that the... his funeral is going to be in Rome. So he goes to Rome. Bond goes to Rome.
And does he go to Rome? Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Just to make sure we
understand.
He actually went to Rome.
Right.
I feel like I went to Rome.
Or should we say he comes to Rome?
Well, and it's interesting because it's Moneypenny who asks him, you know, kind of like,
what are you
obviously
doing?
Something's going on.
Right.
And then he plays... It, you know, he trusts her.
Correct.
And he plays a recorded message from the previous M.
Yeah, from Judi Dench.
Judi Dench, who basically kind of, you know, goes against what she always stood for, where she's like, here's a guy, kill him.
Kill him.
And then you can figure out the rest.
Yeah.
And don't miss his funeral.
Right.
And
so
the
guy that Judi Dench is talking about is the guy from the first part of the movie, the guy in the white suit and the mask. Yeah, that's the guy that he was after.
He killed him.
Oh, he killed him.
It's obvious, I guess, she knows about Blofeld, and that's why she wants him to go to the funeral.
Correct. So now we see somebody standing there, kind of looks, turns to the side, and you see, like, as film nerds, anybody that has seen film over the last 10 years knows that it's Christoph Waltz is the actor right there.
Yeah, I don't get why they try to hide his face for so long.
I thought it was cool to, like... I think it was just supposed to show the character's mysterious. Yeah, it's not like we're supposed to be surprised it's him. I think it's just him in the shadows. He doesn't talk. You know, he whispers.
We kind of have a Benedict Cumberbatch in the second Star Trek kind of a situation going on where everybody kept talking about, like, that guy in the Nehru jacket played by Christoph Waltz. You think he's Blofeld?
No, I don't.
His name's Franz Oberg.
Franz Oberg, yeah.
Heiser.
Yeah, they did do the old bait and switch. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and Monica Bellucci.
And Monica Bellucci, who looks amazing.
That's why I said he comes to Rome.
I know why you said it.
I'm kind of glad that they didn't, like, try to, like, de-age or anything. They made her look old, but she looks good for her age.
Yeah. She needed no de-aging.
No de-aging.
I mean, she has the crow's feet, and she has, you know, a little bit of wrinkles on the neck, but man, she...
Yeah.
But they also didn't do what they usually do with the first... I mean, the first one always ends up dead.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I got to get better at this. And then the second one is the one that lives to the end.
Right. Well, they even kind of say.
And they always make it seem like, and they're going to be boyfriend and girlfriend forever until the next movie. Because he's got their first girl who dies every single time. So they just kind of like let her like.
They're like, she's already old. She's going to die soon anyways.
But he ends up saving her. Like, she has all of this information.
Or at least for the night.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she clearly had some visitors.
Spectre has.
Well, no, he's got the American agent coming. coming to stay with
us.
Is
that right? That's right. Felix Leiter.
Yeah, he's getting he's getting by in sloppy seconds on that one.
He's like, oh, thanks, Rich.
That's a lot of bloogies. All right.
It's another good SNL skit is when James Bond is at the doctor.
Oh, it's so good. That's a great one.
Talking
Chris
about
Parnell is James Bond. Yeah.
With all of his different venereal diseases. Like, can you call your partners?
So he ends up, she gives him the information about where to go to see this whole thing. So he gets there.
And his eyes wide shut.
And he's got the ring. He's got the guy that he murdered. Well, I guess the bad guy's ring. So he gets into the super secret meeting that apparently all you have to do is be like, boop. And they're like, all right, man, you're good.
Yeah.
We don't have to test anything
else. $5 ring.
Right. So he gets in and then, somebody is trying to take, our guy's spot. So our guy apparently was pretty high up in this organization.
He was like their head assassin.
And now this guy is coming. There's a guy who's like, yeah, I would like to do it. Christoph Waltz comes in all mysterious like and sits down. No light on his face. So you can see like from one end of the table, you see nothing but like silhouettes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, does anybody want to fight him for it? And everybody's like, no. And then out of the shadows comes Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, man.
And
with hair.
Uh-huh. Who, I mean, if you know him from wrestling.
And these
like,
sort of
like razor blades.
Yeah,
like,
razor blades
on
his
thumbnails.
Coke
thumbnails.
Yeah, Coke thumbs. If you know him from wrestling, he was a monster in wrestling. Like, physically, he was
huge.
He's
a gigantic person.
And in Guardians of the Galaxy, he was Drax, and he's massive in this. Yeah. But you always see him without a shirt on. In this, he's always fully clothed, and he looks even bigger.
Yeah.
So you sound a little disappointed.
You know, I've seen him. I've been watching wrestling for a while. I've seen it. It's fine. It's whatever. But he looks, he's even more intimidating now because he looks massive. Yeah. And he kind of like, the guy stands up, and he like, I thought he was just going to pat him on the shoulder, and then he takes these two like metal pieces on his thumbs and jabs them in his eyes. And the guy dies.
Well, no, then he snaps his neck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. He breaks his neck.
Because he was alive for...
He takes out... Like, he's very nonchalant about it. Just kind of takes out the little handkerchief, wipes off his fingernails.
I love it. And he goes
sits
in the chair and without saying... And he doesn't say a word the entire time until...
No, he doesn't say one word in the entire movie.
No, he
says one word.
At the end, but you don't hear me
silent. And that's
silent.
Not him. I think they ADR'd his voice.
Yeah, it didn't
sound like him
at all. Yeah, and I didn't really pay attention. But it was
Kevin Nash and John Wick.
Yeah, it was cool though. I really liked that character. I thought he was a great henchman. And
he's good.
Is the first time we've seen a henchman in this new Bond.
Yeah,
you know, like a real
we've gone full
odd
full
job
Bond.
Type. You know,
he is an intimidating
he's
henchman.
A great,
I think he's right up there with Jaws.
Well, he's always one step behind Bond until the train scene.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
he's out Bonding him the whole time.
He had Bond dead to rights until that train scene. Like, he had beaten Bond.
Oh, in the train? No, until that train scene, though, like, he's always one step behind him. He's following him the whole time, and he's a step ahead of him. But
he shrugs off a bullet.
Yeah. So, there's a pretty good car chase. So, we've got the Aston Martin, and
this is when the guy...
Oh, Blofeld reveals himself.
Yeah.
Blofeld.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Not Blofeld.
But he also acknowledges that he knows James.
He
is
knows
there.
James. Is
oh,
there.
It's great! Yeah,
it was pretty well done.
Christoph Waltz is great actor. Just
Christoph
has
Waltz
to be said.
Has played some of Inglourious Bastards, and who, in my opinion, is one of the most terrifying villains.
He is, he's so intimidating. He's so friendly and so
that opening sing-songy voice and
that whole opening scene in Inglourious Basterds.
I love that opening scene.
Holy
that is,
hell!
And obviously they were casting. For that, using that as the, but it is kind of effective. They gave it away in the trailers, but
it's
like talking, and then you realize, oh, she's
talking
to James.
Yes,
yeah.
So James bolts, like he gets in a, he realizes he's in trouble.
Oh.
He's surrounded by bad
pretty
guys.
Pretty cool. He's jumping out windows and rolling onto the ground.
Right.
I'm like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So poor car.
Yeah.
So he jumps in his Aston Martin. He takes off, and then Batista takes off after him. It's a pretty good car.
Is that the Jaguar? Is that what that
was?
Was?
I don't know what that was. I don't know. I'm not a car guy.
A Jaguar.
Definitely a concept car of some sort. But
yeah.
I mean, it looks like a Lamborghini or something. But I think that's a Jaguar.
Okay.
Concept car.
All right.
But
so then they're racing through and they get down to like a I don't know what you would call that. like a drainage?
An inlet?
It's a canal.
A canal, okay. Yeah. So they're racing down the canal.
It's actually filmed the same place that the finale of Grease was.
Is that
filmed?
What it was? Yeah. Terminator 2? Yeah, was right.
And they go up on the walls, yeah. Did anyone else think Grease when they saw that?
I recognize
they
it from
Terminator 2.
Yeah, yeah, they used
the
it everywhere.
Chicago Stay the Night video. Like they've
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, they've used that
I've spent a lot of time in that canal.
Yeah.
So Batista is gaining on Bond, and yeah, that's it.
That's a Jaguar. It's okay, a million dollar Jaguar.
Okay, that got blown up. So Q has put up like these little switches, and I was like, all right, here we go. Here are the gadgets. So he hits the
missile.
I don't know what the name of it was.
Atmosphere.
Well, it's like backfire. Backfire. That's what it was. And the
it
little
just
machine
made a fart noise.
That was the little. It was actually crop duster. Yeah.
The right, little machine like a little gun pops out of the emblem,
and he goes to pull it. Like it locks on. He goes to pull the trigger, and it's like no ammo. He's like, oh crap. So he goes in the next and says atmosphere, and it's like a Sinatra song starts playing. And I was like, all right, this is pretty good. Okay, this is funny.
Music for 009.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Like
yeah.
Optimized for 009. Yeah.
So then he hits like then he finds one that says afterburner or something in the flame
exhaust.
Yeah, that was ZZ Top. Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, exhaust.
And
then
ends up letting setting the car on fire.
Yeah,
and then he realized he's like, okay, I'm not gonna get away from this guy because he keeps coming.
Well, that and there's a dead end.
Is that what it was? Yeah. So he ends up hitting the last switch, and it's the ejector seat, of course, because why not? We've gotten this far. We may as well do it.
In for a dime, in for a dollar.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. And he, you know, he
in
takes
for a quid,
off.
In for a pound, in for a shilling, in for a.
I think it's quid and pound. Isn't that a thing, right?
I don't know. It's all euros now.
Yeah. So then, you know, James gets away. And then I'm trying to think.
I like this. So he ejects up into the air, and then on his landing, he's in his, you know, suit.
Just like pops
and
it
then,
off.
And then, yeah, and then he just lands perfectly and starts walking as soon as he lands. And yeah, the thing
goes,
falls off.
Good evening.
And then, yeah, and then a guy, like street vendor, is right there where he just came out of the sky.
Right,
out of
yeah,
nowhere.
Right.
It was smooth.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then is this where he calls, does he call Moneypenny at this point? And then, like, kind of asks her.
Yeah, I
like,
think
look,
this, when
is,
he,
this is what we've got going
she's
on.
She's in bed with someone.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We don't.
That's he was in the car chase when he calls her.
Is that what it is?
Oh, because yeah. Okay. Yeah, all the stuff's going on. That's right. Yeah.
This is when he needs to find out, or he finds out he has to go to Austria. Mm-hmm. Next on our grand tour.
Yeah, right, right,
very
right.
Expensive locales.
So what does he do in Austria?
He goes and finds Mr. White.
Yeah. So we didn't.
Oh, that's
we skipped
right.
The
that's
Mr.
Right.
White
okay.
part. So
okay.
he finds Mr. White, who's hiding in his like in a secret passageway
right, right,
in
right,
his
right,
house.
Right.
And we find out he has a very short amount of time to live. They poisoned his. What was it? Something he was wearing or something?
I thought he had like an IV.
His
and they had
phone,
poison.
I thought.
His
they
phone.
Said,
yeah. They laced
the
his
IV
phone
was his
with,
chemo treatment.
Oh, okay.
They laced
okay.
his phone with, what,
thallium.
Urine. Yeah. And so he says.
That's on Wikipedia. I did not remember
okay.
that. Just in the interest of full disclosure.
Such a chemist.
I was like,
oh.
Well done.
I was not
well
in
done.
Off around this point.
Yeah. So he's got a couple weeks to live. And so Bond is like, I need to know about this organization. He gives him the ring. And he used to be a part of Spectre.
Right. Well, that's as we find out, every villain that Bond has faced up until this point was part of Spectre.
Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you mean
so.
Like in Mission Impossible 5?
Correct.
Okay. So. Just making sure.
I mean,
that
like, do you really like?
Confused.
Do you? I just wonder if it was just pure happenstance. Like, I feel like the mission. I feel like both of these scripts were probably being written at the same time.
Most likely, I don't think they ripped
and
it off.
Like,
but I think when they saw
the
Mission Impossible 5, perhaps
oh.
they should have done some tweaking.
Yeah, a little bit. Where it's
if
like,
they could, yeah.
I mean, Spectre's been around in the Bond universe for a while, though, hasn't it?
Yep. But they didn't have the rights to it, correct?
Well, yeah, that's where it got. The Kevin McClory is the guy who spent like basically it, more or less. I mean, the short version is that he spent kind of a drunken night hanging out with Ian Fleming, and they were spitballing ideas, and he was able to claim Blofeld Spectre, and then basically through litigation was able to prevent the Eon Productions of touching Spectre. So they've been, that's why they had Quantum, and
right.
that's why they had all these other villains, because for, you know, since I think the Roger Moore era,
right.
they weren't able.
And that's how Never Say Never Again got made, correct? Because he owned
today's
the
Video Recovery.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, it kind of touches on that. And actually, I mean, that's exactly why.
That's a remake, right?
It's Thunderball.
It's Thunderball.
Yeah. Right.
Who is the guy, you know, that's what the book Thunderball was written. Basically, this guy was hanging out with Ian Fleming, and you know, Fleming was a big drinker and was like, "Hey, let's go hang out." Yeah, and then he was like, "Yeah, hey, we can have something called Spectre. Yeah, it's a great idea." And that's like, and then he was able to own it,
parlay that into a paycheck,
and it was only settled before this movie, which is how they're able to, like,
you know, that as soon as that was settled, they were like, "Let's go."
Let's do it. Get that octopus thing going.
So Mr. White basically says, "Okay, well, I have this information about Spectre or the organization that you need to know. You have to do something for me." And he says, "Find my daughter and protect her, because after me, they're coming after
By
her.
By the way, she's super hot."
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. I think he says, "Go to La America."
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Like the my daughter,
she knows
where that is.
Where L'American is.
Right.
She knows L'American, which sounds like the American.
Right.
So everyone is led to believe there's some American that's going to help them.
Correct.
And then he then proceeds to take James Bond gun, who he puts
James kind of says, he's like, "Look, you have my word. I'm not going to kill her. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to do anything." And he gives him his gun. He's like, "This is my
word."
As
a show of faith, he puts it on the table.
And the guy's like, "Got it." and like blows his brains
kills himself,
out.
Yeah.
Which like, he's a spy. Like, he was Inspector. The dude didn't own his own gun?
Right. That was weird.
Yeah. What was that about?
I can only think that, like, James brought him upstairs, and he was, left it behind.
I think the whole thing on that scene was he knew now that since Bond had sworn to protect his daughter, it was okay for him to die. He didn't have to hold on anymore.
So he had to do it in the most dramatic way possible?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
And there was a weird part of that scene where, like, that scene lingers for, like, 2 minutes.
What? A lingering scene?
It's weird, right? It's strange.
The hell you
but
say?
But you can hear, like, the blood dripping onto the floor. Yeah. And I was like, that's kind of gross. Like, I didn't... that was really gross. So then he ends up going to...
The clinic. She's a doctor.
A clinic in the spot where Inception took place, like up on the ice mountain.
Yeah,
And he kind of
like a ski lift to get there.
What? I mean, it's a health clinic, but for what? Do they ever explain what?
She kind of says like mental / physical health.
It's like the Mayo Clinic.
It was like a spa, but not easy to get.
I'm pretty
sure
that's where like that people go for like the face off procedure.
I think so.
Like,
I want to take his face.
That's what it really is. Oh my gosh! If Nicolas Cage was showed up and then all of a sudden they switched place. Oh my gosh!
No. So he goes in and he kind of does the interview, and she's asking a bunch of questions, and he begins to let on who he is and like what has happened. She gets all pissed off and kicks him out. So he goes downstairs, and that's where he runs into Q. Q's like, Q knows where he is because the smart blood.
Well, he's at the bar.
Which is good. He's like, "I'll take a, you know, the whatever
vodka martini,
shake it not stirred." He's like, "We don't serve alcohol." He's like, "Oh, of course you don't."
And then he orders like
he doesn't order anything. Like
probiotic,
Q walks up and he was like
something, blah, blah.
Probiotic like stomach enzyme. And like Bond is just like, "Ugh." So they have a little interaction. He's like, "Look, I need you to analyze this ring. Tell me what you know about it." He's like, "I have to." And Q, in his defense, is like, "I got to get you back. Like, my job's on the line. Moneypenny's job is on the line. We got to go."
Because meanwhile, M called and said, that's when he says he better be in London.
He says,
yes, he is. And now he's gone to Austria to take him back. Yeah.
So they say, he's like, "Where are you?" He gives him where he's staying, and they're on their way. At this point, the girl looks like she's going to be kidnapped. And then they deliver the drink to Bond, and he was like, "I'll tell you what, just put that in the toilet and we'll just cut out the middleman."
Yeah.
I was like, that's a good line too. That's pretty funny. So the girl is kidnapped by Batista and their henchmen. James somehow steals an airplane. And another kind of cool action set piece.
And meanwhile, Q's being followed.
Q's geography
followed,
in that scene makes
no
sense
whatsoever. Everybody has to take a ski lift except for the guys that can drive up there.
Yeah.
Right. Except for those guys.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Right. And flying a plane through the little forest.
Correct.
And like...
And just happen to go on like a ramp / barn.
Right. Yeah. So there's another set. Yeah, so Bond kind of takes out everybody and he crashes the plane, and you think that Batista is dead.
But he didn't do the double tap.
That's as always. He wasn't wearing a seatbelt either.
Why is it that when bad guys are flying planes, driving cars, riding a bicycle, or pushing a shopping cart, if they run into an object, they explode, But James Bond can drive a plane, knock off all the engines, crash it through a barn, down a hill, whatever, because and it's just like, oh, this is kind of on fire.
He's a hero. That's why.
I'm just saying, though. It's like anybody else crashes a car and it explodes.
Why do bad guys have the worst aim? Yeah, in every James Bond movie, there is a random barn or shanty or lean-to that can serve as some mode of getting from one side to the other.
There's one.
Always.
That Jeep... like goes into a barn that's filled with hazardous chemicals. Apparently, that explodes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like exactly.
In the middle of nowhere,
one of the Jeeps chasing him crashes.
That's the chemicals.
That was the wrong barn.
That's the chemicals they store for the face-off procedure.
Oh, okay. So now it makes more sense. Cause cars are just exploding, hitting a tree.
They kill Travolta and Nicolas Cage in that
they
scene.
They picked
that's
the wrong barn.
Yeah. Right. So he ends up getting the girl and they get away. And she finally tells them, like, they go see.
How does Batista go through the windshield? Because at first I'm like, oh, he must have gotten away. That couldn't have been him. No, he goes face,
yeah, he goes face
through
first.
A windshield.
Yep.
Yeah. He doesn't even have a bloody
because
forehead.
He's Batista.
He's got
safety
glass.
He's
gigantic.
You should
I know he's big and strong, but
you should
see
the scar tissue on that guy's forehead. Like, it takes
like,
forever
come on,
to cut
blood
through
show
that.
A cut on his forehead. For
No. So they get away. I'm trying to think. They go to see Q, and Q kind of tells him, he's like, look, he analyzes the ring, and he's like, everything we've done since 2006, it's all connected.
Everything
is connected.
Movie.
I don't get how he gets that from a ring, though.
I don't know either.
There's so much DNA on that ring. It kind of was like, if I were James Bond, I would have been like,
why does that guy have a ring that has touched every villain?
That's what I don't understand.
Where they just hand him down once a villain dies.
Yeah, it was at this point where I was like, what?
Yeah,
how
I don't get
work?
The analysis.
Yeah,
I think their secret handshake might involve fisting.
It has to.
Oh, God.
This is the worst organization ever.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Moon River.
When you're ready to get move up through the ranks, like, what do we do?
Can I be one of those guys that's on the balcony watching the organ?
Do I get paid the same if I'm up here or down there?
I wanted to know. Like, there were so many people, random people around the balcony, and there's like eight people at a table.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, so what's their position? Yeah.
What do they do?
Why does that chair have?
They're middle management. That's what they are.
They're Freemasons headed over here.
Unpaid interns. They're there for college credit.
Stone cutters.
Unpaid interns. They really are an evil organization.
So she ends up saying, like, I'll take you
to the
American.
He said, and she's
which
like,
turns
it's not
out
a
to
person.
Be what a restaurant,
yeah, like a hotel.
A hotel.
Nobody thought to Google it,
right?
And don't even think about sleeping with me. But I'm gonna put on this little nightie.
Well, wait a minute. She goes to bed in all her clothes and passes out.
And then wakes up in the night,
and then she has a nightgown on.
Here's what happened.
Tell
here's what I think happened.
Okay,
James Bond raped her.
Wow. Because I'm like the cut between that scene. She's like, because he had to have changed her because she's like, go sit in that chair, and she. Passes out drunk.
All,
he's in the chair.
We've
she's
all
in
had
night,
those.
Yeah.
We've always had those friends who are just
that we've raped.
No.
That, come
like,
on, guys.
We have gotten super drunk and then puked all over themselves. And you're like, I can't let them sleep in that. And then you got to change them on. You know, James Bond is looking out for her. That's what it
I'm
has
sure
to
he
be.
Closed his eyes.
Yeah, he closed his eyes while he went.
No, I've never had that.
That's one way of looking at it.
Have you ever had to change somebody?
I've definitely thrown somebody in a shower.
Do you, like, live in a romantic comedy?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
My entire life is just one big proposal.
One
that's
meet
all.
Cute after another.
Joe's like,
your wife must be very jealous.
I didn't look.
But I did.
But I did.
That's true.
So
I did wonder in this movie, I actually found myself wondering, I'm like, man, they always have the right clothes for the right situation. Like, he had the full, like, winter
and
gear.
There was finally a scene where when the train drops him off in the middle of nowhere, I was like, finally, luggage. See luggage.
Like, did he really pack for all of these
and
things?
And he's still in a suit and, like, a wool tie.
Yeah. I'm like, that's what I want to teach me is how that suitcase works. And
you ever seen those little air compression, like, suitcases where, like, they like, shrink it?
He's got to have those,
That's what he's doing.
It's one of the first things you get as a double agent.
So I thought he was a pretty bad spy in this scene because they show up to the they show up to the hotel and he's just pulling like books out of the entertainment center.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I guess there's nothing here.
Yeah. So
I mean,
let's get drunk.
Let's not do like an analysis or like try to like knock on the walls or find secret compartments. Oh, the bookcase is empty.
You know what tips him off? A freaking mouse.
Yeah. I did think it was funny when he's
it was
like
Gus.
Yes, oh, Gus.
I did like the interaction when he's kind of drunk with the Heineken next to his table and he's pointing the gun at the mouse.
Yeah.
At first I'm like, he's going to shoot a mouse like an alert everyone.
I also did think of like, he could be drunk enough that he might shoot that mouse. I was thinking that's possible.
But the mouse runs into the wall and then
he goes over to the wall and he takes his beer and he pours the beer like on the floor and the liquid goes under the thing and he ends up punching his way
which I don't know
wall.
What that shows because oh well if a floor has a hole that liquid can the go down, there must be a compartment behind
yeah,
it.
I always the guy underneath that was a like, hole. Hey!
So where was the actual door that he
it looked like
through.
It was walled off.
It looked like the yeah. only way they could ever get in there was to destroy the wall.
That's what I thought.
So which,
it was a wall that was completely drywalled, yeah. plastered, but there was a door frame on the other side.
So I guess his secret power was like drywall.
yeah. Every year he drywalled.
So good at drywalling.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
you couldn't even
he
see.
He was
it.
A really
the
good
The only
martyr.
Thing I can think of is the guy knew he was dying. He could have gone there. Martyr. He yeah. could have gone there and patched up the wall because he knew he would never go back.
I think it's the American Facilities Department. Hats off, guys. Yeah.
The maintenance guy comes in and fixes it.
He's like, every time this guy comes here.
Mr. White again.
Stop letting this guy rent the room.
We could put a door.
Is Spicoli the maintenance man from Fast Times?
Not putting a chocolate on your pillow.
Yeah. So he ends up literally punching his
chocolate.
Yeah. Mm. He punches his way through a
who
wall.
Who hasn't wanted to do that, though?
I mean, I've done it.
And I
definitely put my fist through a wall.
And I like that he didn't
once.
Kick it. He didn't
well,
throw
like
a
no
bookshelf.
Well, there's no studs or anything
there's
in the wall.
There.
It's just literally just slats.
It was dry.
What would have been funnier is if there had been slats.
Oh, it was?
And he punched it, and he was like, ow! And then he like goes down one more.
Yeah, that's why
he
has the slats, because the plaster has the slats.
So he goes into this room. What does he find in the room?
A computer locating. He had been tracking...
Bloomfield?
Franz.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We skipped the part where Moneypenny gave James a box from Skyfall. And it had all these pictures in it, and it had all this stuff in it.
She dropped that off.
But there's a picture with him and a guy. And conveniently,
burned
where the third person
is
the picture.
Burned out.
Who was that?
I don't know. So I thought that was his dad. Originally,
I thought it was too.
Yeah, I didn't. I completely forgot
about Skyfall. They had alluded to like his family dying though
in a climbing accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what's in the room? They're tracking. What's his name?
The
Christoph Waltz.
Whatever his name is,
Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
Who was actually Lorne Michaels?
The look is
Blofeld, right?
Yeah.
But he's based off Lorne Michaels.
And they even have the cat. They bring the cat back.
They did. I was like, okay.
As soon as you see the Nehru jacket, you're like, Blofeld, right?
Right.
If you look at the old Blofeld, from Russia with Love or whatever, and you look at Dr. Evil, it is identical.
Same thing. Yeah.
It is him.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Nehru jacket.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
Yeah.
So now they're on the...
And she sees pictures of her, so...
Oh, that's right.
Like,
yeah,
my dad did love me.
He did love me the whole time.
That's what you needed to see?
Right. Those revelations. That's another thing that bothered me is it's like... Yeah.
Fix your gap, girl. God.
I thought it was... Did anyone else think it was weird that she had kind of like a sexy picture laying on a bed with her shirt up? And the dad had that pinned on the wall. Did you see
that? He did?
Yes. Because so the dad had in that little secret room.
It was like a senior photo.
I think she was
in bed with her shirt up, and you could see her side and stomach a little bit.
I think it was just like a teenager laying on the bed.
I know, but it was
didn't
a
look
creepy.
Like sexy to me.
Well, I'm just saying she was laying on the bed. It was a creepy looking picture. I thought the dad had that picture. That was the one.
I didn't even notice it, to be honest with you.
I didn't think it was bad at all.
I think I had nodded off at this point.
Honestly, I have cousins that had pictures like that laid on where like they're in photo albums and stuff. It's just like random pictures.
But your family marries cousins.
Well, yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Okay. So I understand it now.
Here nor there, Kevin.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah. So where do we go? So they
track him. They use the computer. The old computer system boots up.
They
find the place.
And they go to this place in the mountains.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
And now
crater hole.
The entire time. There is
the thing that should have been labeled Evil Lair.
It's
Max,
a beautiful looking property.
Max, or C, is trying to pass this vote to get this organization.
The superpower organization.
Yeah, one big organization to control all the national security
it's
of the
like,
entire world.
It's like the thing from Batman.
Yeah.
It's the thing that listens.
Oh, the Dark Knight?
Yeah, it's like the thing that can tap into every device, security cameras, monitoring. It's... The Patriot Act, whatever.
Right,
you know,
this is their version. Yeah. And they missed the vote the first time because the South Africans were like, no.
And in the next scene.
See, so what I think, I was like, okay, so they're going to kill the South Africans. Like,
well, they killed some South Africans, all right, because they blew up their embassy.
That's true.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. But I was like, they're going to set this up. So all of these attacks are coordinated. Mm-hmm. There's all these different attacks that is kind of pushing this thing to go through.
Right.
So then we get to this the lair, mm-hmm. and everybody, they lay out. Of course, actually, it's kind of cool. So usually the way it works is the villain will lay out their entire plan while James Bond is caught.
Yeah.
In this one,
hanging from, you know, handcuffs,
or like attached
over
to
sharks,
a,
or something.
A, you know,
with
a table, laser
attached
beams
to their head.
Yeah. Gonna get his balls cut off by like a laser.
Yeah.
This one, James Bond lays it out for the villain. Like when he sees the, Blumfeld, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? For the first time.
Blumfeld.
It's not Blumhouse. This is not Jason Blumhouse production. Okay.
Blumfeld. When you see when they finally interact, James Bond kind of says, okay, so this is like all the attacks were on purpose. Let me guess. This guy, Max, is your guy?
Yep.
And he was like, yep, he's my. And of course, like as soon as I saw the guy, I was like, bad guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He were going to be the bad guy.
That's the guy who's kind of like a.
Who's a great bad guy.
Who's a villain.
He was amazing as Moriarty.
You're like,
he was so good.
Kind of know he's the bad guy.
Yeah. I did hate that guy.
Spoilers. He's Moriarty on Sherlock. And
you know, I will say what's really cool before we get into more of the interaction between, you know, all the villainous plot and everything. I really liked the lead up. I don't know if this is a part that Tom would call boring, but I liked all the niceties and how, you know, they've captured James Bond and Lea Seydoux. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Swan.
Yeah, Dr. Swan. They've captured them and they basically drop them off at this, you know, lair, whatever. But then they're like, "All right, drinks will be at 4." And they walk them to their
room.
Here's
a dress.
They give them a dress. I just liked the creep.
Isn't that a thing? Isn't that always been a thing though? Like, hasn't the villain always kind of been nice to?
Well, I like it.
I'm gonna kill you later, but
I know. But
let me reveal my plot.
But I do like that. This movie felt like with the henchmen and felt like.
I like that. I like that part because it was also there was a very menacing aspect to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they already had pictures from their personal life on their nightstand.
Yeah, that was a full picture of James and the two other people,
and they had.
Father and
they had clothes laid out for them that fit them perfectly.
Yeah.
Correct. And you know, like it just.
That's,
it
I mean,
felt,
the atmosphere. Yeah. I loved.
No,
it.
No, I like that because it was very menacing. That it was just like, we're being nice, but we know everything
like,
about.
We also know what
he's
the score
there to
is.
Kill them, but yet they've set up all these nices. And you're like, what are they up to? They offer him champagne.
Yeah, that's
and
when
so,
we see the picture of that was burned.
Right,
and the other guy in the picture, the kid, is
clearly a bad Photoshop of Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do any worse of a photo? I mean,
$300 million. Movie,
I'm watching this on IMAX.
$40 to do a photo.
I'm watching this on IMAX, right? So it's a huge screen, and it's like the worst contrast and sizing and like attachment of Christoph Waltz's head.
You
on someone's
shrunk Chris Evans down to a tiny person,
and you
can't
figure
out how to
Photoshop. It was just a terrible.
Yeah, it was a little like.
I'm
ooh.
Always amazed at movies that. Do that where they it's very obvious that they just copied and pasted a face from and just put it on top and put no effort into like
you
color
can still
matching
see,
or...
you can still see Jamie Foxx from Django standing next to
him. I mean, have you
he's got a mustache.
Have you guys been on Reddit and seen like Photoshop battle? I mean, people on Reddit, just random people on the internet, you could ask for free if you were like, hey, your work can be in a James Bond movie, you would
get
the most amazing.
We'll give you an autographed poster.
They would get the most amazing job. These people take black and white torn photos in half and color correct them, take the tears away, and it looks like
we'll give you
an
a hand job from Lea Seydoux.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So we should probably get to the part where he's strapped to the machine.
So he lays out the whole plot. Turns out that Christoph Waltz's character and James Bond grew up together. They were practically brothers because
Blofeld's
father took in James
for 2 years. I think.
And like helped him shoot and ski and do all this other stuff. But at the same time, like, kind of pushed Blofeld to the side and used
and
James.
Revealed his sociopath tendencies.
Yeah, correct. So they had actually a pretty good scene where they refer to him as like a cuckoo, and he's done that like prior.
Well,
earlier
when
he spots him,
he's like, "Hello, James, cuckoo." Or
yeah,
whatever,
and
you're
like, "What the hell was that?"
Yeah,
and
I thought it was weird too, but it made.
And
he
lays it out
it.
That like when
a
cuckoo bird gets into a nest, it tends to kick all the other eggs out, so it's the center of attention.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is an incredible actor.
His
delivery of lines like that, you're just like, where did you come from?
I wanted that guy to be Lex Luthor so bad.
Yeah, he became like pop. I mean, after Inglourious Basterds, he became popular.
Norman Osborn.
But It's like, where where was this guy the last 30 years, though? Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
that's a good question.
Came out of nowhere, and then, I mean, I think he was in German films, but he came out of nowhere into the mainstream, won two Oscars, like, back-to-back.
Yeah. Did he win for Django as well?
Tarantino movies. Okay. Yeah. Best supporting actor, and it's like, this guy is amazing. I want more, you know.
Yeah. He's kind of, he's found his, it's weird because, like, he was so good as a villain, and then he was so good as a good guy. Like, all right, man, like, you can do whatever you want. I didn't see, what was the Tim Burton one that he was in?
Big eyes. I haven't seen that. Yeah, he was also the bad guy in Green Hornet. Remember that?
Oh, he was the bad guy.
And but in
he
Horrible was Bosses, too. Oh.
And he was in a Charlie...
He was in Horrible Bosses, too?
Yeah, he's the dad.
Oh. Yeah. So he's been in a lot of stuff. But,
and he was in a Terry Gilliam movie that got terrible reviews.
Zero Theorem.
Which I wanted to see because of Christoph Waltz and Terry Gilliam, but it got railed.
Lambasted.
But the torture scenes is really cool.
Torture scene's really good. So he kind of... This is where he kind of lays out the subplot... and he's got James attached to this table, and he's drilling into the side of his head.
Oh,
and he's
I don't like the dentist as it is. So, they
kind of say like,
we did pass up the part where James Bond has been drilling. Dr. Snow or whatever her name
is. He did give Knox Dr. Snow or Dr. Swan Dr. the old Swan, the old 1-2.
Yeah. Like she changes her mind pretty quick about it.
Yeah. He's like, well, you've already.
Well, that was
once.
After the train. Okay, I do, real quick. I have to go back
to this again.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I was trying to go as fast as I could.
I know, but
I got like 40 minutes of this damn movie.
Oh no, it's almost over.
We could kind of
the train sequence
is I think one of the coolest action. It is the highlight of the movie. You know, they're sitting at a table having dinner on the train car, and Batista comes walking. You see him in the reflection.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool, and they just start having a knockout, drag out, you know, fight, like punching things, throwing them through walls.
Right.
And when I heard that Daniel Craig was injured, I'm like, okay, that's the scene where he got injured.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But which awesome. Is weird. But when they returned after it was like a 2-week hiatus, he got injured on that scene, and then they resumed filming, and then Batista got injured.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to stop because he's
Batista.
But he.
He busted his nose or something.
Busted his nose, and they said, I think they may have shown it. We don't know which punch it is, but he like nailed
that fight. Looked like a fight.
Here's the thing about Batista is he's a former wrestler, so he knows how to put on a show. He's also a former MMA fighter,
yeah.
So like he's legit.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think he knows how to do a light touch.
Nope. Nope.
So,
I don't think that exists. So anyway, back to the
train fight was awesome, but I will say gunshots fired on the train full of people, train destroyed, they don't kick them off the train.
They
go afterwards like, what now? And they go and have sex in the train car, then they get off their designated stop.
Right.
I'm like, where the hell are the police in this movie? Gunshots in a train destroyed, they let them go.
That's customer service.
It's just stupid plot holes like that where I know it's a movie, but like these movies have been pretty realistic. Why do no police stop any action until the very end? The police show up for the first time, but anyway I just thought this is so stupid.
So we get to he's on the thing and he's gonna drill in the back of his brain where he's gonna make him forget.
He takes away his vision on the first drill, all this different stuff. And the next one is he can't recognize like faces.
Right. He's face blind.
Before he kills Bond, he wants him to not be able to recognize this woman that he
cares. She freaks out. She comes running up, and she's like, Do you know me? He's like, of course I recognize you.
I can never forget those eyes.
And he goes, grab the watch.
Yeah.
And she grabs the watch and she chucks it, and then everything blows up, and they get away. And then, which is another like he goes back into full James Bond like Casino Royale mode.
Yeah. He's
where he just picks up a gun. He's like, pip,
that
pip,
was
pip,
cool.
Pip, pip, pip,
that
pip,
was
pip.
Cool. I love.
He shook it off pretty quick.
He did
a 360 no scope.
I love the cool shots like that where you're just like, this guy's an expert.
So then the weird part is
kill at Call of Duty and
he would rule. So they get to the top, and then out of nowhere, the entire base explodes.
Well, because he shot a tank, and that was a small explosion, line or whatever.
I felt like that was like just the most random. Like, hey, we're done.
Yeah, this is where working things that aren't up to code work against you.
And this is
if you're doing if you're building an evil lair, it's worth paying
a little extra.
Yeah,
well,
the union.
That's why you go
union,
right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in that secret equal.
Not anymore. There's not.
Like there was,
they
like,
are
that,
all
they must,
dead.
Yeah. HR
in one room,
was working overtime.
In one room where the people are monitoring everything. Yeah. Like there were like 100 workers.
It's no Death Star explosion. Okay?
That's true. Yeah, just one hole.
But yeah. I will say,
like, cover that up.
I think that was a one take, and I think that was part of the $300 million budget.
It had to be.
I believe that facility explodes.
Yeah.
Because when they're filming it, just the way that there was like a pause where it didn't seem quite right, because I think they literally had to wait for the place to explode, because they show them and it's quiet for a second. They look at each other.
Oh, I just thought it was like supposed to be that explodes. Dramatic pause. Okay.
But I'm thinking like that's a real building blowing up, yeah. because that was the one take they had. You know?
So then they take off, and then they get back to London, and it's pretty obvious that now we're in London, but we are like 45 minutes away from that, this agency taking over completely. Yeah. So Bond meets up with
the 00 program is
gone. It's going to go.
Yeah.
So you meet Bond meets up with M and Q and Moneypenny, and lays out the entire plan.
Q's got to get in and hack this system from going online.
Shut it down. M
is going to try to find C and.
God, I wish they would have just left that.
The
line
girl
alone.
Walks away. Yeah. She's like, I can't do this. I can't live this life.
I can't live this life.
So we know we won't see her again, right?
No,
we'll
never see her again.
Yeah.
So they get.
She'll exit gracefully.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
They always
45
do.
Minutes
they
left all, in the movie. Of course she's. Yeah, it's going to be out. Fine. So all of our side characters are taking care of their kind of business. I don't remember how James. Like,
he's in a car with M, and they're driving.
Oh, that's right.
And then
okay.
they come, and the bad guy truck comes
correct.
In.
Correct. So
T-bones them.
M and the MI6 crew get away and go do their thing.
They capture
Bond is captured and taken back to the original MI6 building. Mm. He comes to, and he's walking through, like, one of the cells.
I like this. It's creepy.
It's a cool scene.
It's creepy.
So you see everybody that we've seen so far. So there's a picture of Lashif. There's a picture of Mr. White. There's Javier Bardem and M. Judy Dench.
There's Judy Dench.
This is where it all comes together.
And
whether
Vesper.
They meant to do with, that
yeah.
or
they,
not,
they bring
that,
back.
This is where it all comes together, whether that was really the intent. I don't know.
Yeah. So they also reference Zep Vesper, Ava Green's character from Casino Royale.
Multiple times.
More than I thought. Like, there's a tape in the secret compartment that says, like, Vesper interrogation or something.
Yeah, he looks at it. Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But essentially, Blofeld has rigged the place to explode.
Correct.
And he's got 3 minutes
to get himself out or to get her out.
Or to save the girl.
We were set up earlier in the movie. At the very beginning, they say, oh, it's cheaper to demolish the old place than to fix it. So they're just blowing it up.
Yeah, they're gonna
and
blow
that's
up.
Why it was all rigged for explosions.
Right, yeah.
So they
did you get the bullet holes in the glass? Did you see that they became an octopus?
Oh, no. Yeah. I might have nodded off at that point.
You were still nodding off.
This was a good nap for you.
It was.
Did you see it?
It's not a young man anymore.
So he ends up, he figures out where she is. He rescues her. And another funny scene where he's like, do you trust me?
Well, we thought Blofeld died.
Correct.
And so now we see him.
The scar.
Now we see him,
eye.
The Blofeld that we always know.
Yeah,
it's an origin story.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yeah. And then is this where, or did you say it earlier? He's like, so I took my mother's name.
Blofeld.
That was at the facility.
That was the interrogation.
Okay.
Your mother's name was Blow?
Yeah. This is when,
that's awful.
You didn't think that one through, did you?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Well, that was actually her porn actress name. She chose that.
Yeah, they had their con moment.
This was the con reveal.
It's like,
really?
Interesting.
Guess that. So they've got like 30 seconds to get out of the building. He says, do you trust me? And she's like, do I have a choice?
And he jumps on a magic carpet.
Yeah.
And they fly away.
That's exactly what I thought. I was
it's
like,
the exact
hey,
line
hey
from
Aladdin,
yeah.
what's up?
I was like, that's a weird, do you trust me? And like, take my hand.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
So they jump down. They end up landing in this net and they get away.
You see the net when he walks in. Yeah. So I'm like, why is there a safety net? Okay.
To protect from falling debris.
Yeah.
So they get out. And then there, Blofeld is in a helicopter. Blofeld is in a helicopter, and James Bond, who apparently is the greatest shot in the world, is on a boat.
He makes
a pistol on a boat. Yeah.
Pistol on a boat
to a helicopter.
To a helicopter, and like nails it every
correct.
Time.
Yeah. And he finally shoots out one of the engines. The engine blows up. It crash lands on a bridge.
Westminster Bridge.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. According to Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It crashes onto the bridge.
I was still nodded off at this point.
Oh my God.
The police are there in about 10 seconds and have already taped off the entire area.
First time, though.
Except for the other side.
So apparently police only come London.
This is England.
Yeah.
They got their act together. This is Mexico or at Tangiers or something.
So that bridge is like the most protected. If something happens on that bridge,
they're
the police,
on it. They were on it. But they only tape off one side, not the other side, where James Bond comes walking out from.
There's the Bond side and then there's the public side.
They stop M and they're like, no. And he's like, yes, I'm a 00, whatever. And then here comes James Bond with a gun about to shoot this guy and no one's running after him
or
anything.
They do the whole scene where he's like, just go ahead and do it, and he ends up, he's like, no.
Well, you have the the part earlier in the movie where he's talking with C about, you know, a 00 that has the license to kill,
yeah,
but, you know, he also has a license to not kill, to blah, blah, blah.
So that's
blah,
where
blah,
you knew.
That, and, yeah, that's, yeah, and that's what that was not,
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. So he doesn't kill Blofeld.
Well, they kill C.
They knock C out of a window.
Yeah, C kind of kills himself by being a C.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm so cocky, and then, oh, well, see, yeah, no net this time, buddy. Yep.
That's why they call him C. He was, yeah, careless. Yeah, he was out careless. A window. That was ta-da, totally, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So the final scene is James and Dr. Swan kind of riding off.
In the Aston Martin, the remake
of the Aston, like the one from,
yeah,
Skyfall.
It's and from Goldfinger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of fan service.
Yes. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's, yeah, that, yeah, at that point, that, you know, throughout this movie, I was like, you know, loving the Bond movies. It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, you definitely wanted to get that in there.
Right. So we flash forward again. And then James is going, like, Q is back in his little lair, and James comes down to see Q. And what does he ask?
Q says, hey, I thought you were done.
I thought you were done. He's like, yeah, I need
the car.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then they ride off. So
it looks like they ended it to.
I think it's one of two things. They have ended this to where
insurance
Daniel
policy.
Craig could be done.
Right.
Or they can bring him back.
I think it's an insurance policy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I would agree.
So
it would wrap up his series nicely if they needed to.
Correct.
And if not, they can bring him back.
Yeah. And I wonder if this could be the wife. Like, I wonder.
Yeah,
if,
like, and I did wonder
the,
about
this.
That.
Could
I,
be the
I
wife
was wondering that,
that
too, since there seemed to be recycling that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if this is the wife that dies. Yeah.
I have a feeling it
back.
Is because this is the. I mean, Vesper. He does.
He carried that. That was some pretty heavy weight.
Yeah.
But like, this is
a heavy weight.
This is the first one in all the series that, like, he loves or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I, you know, it could go one of two ways.
Okay.
We could see Idris Elba come.
Yeah, there was
Honor,
a lot of
Honor Majesty.
There's
Secret
a lot of
Service
retconning in this. There's a lot of fan service in this. Because I was like, as a fan, I was like, you don't have to have Aston Martin.
I get so tired of fan service in these types of
I don't mind a little bit of fan service.
You got the theme song. You got the tuxedo switcheroo thing. There's always some sort of like, oh, I'm in a tux. I'm an action guy. No, I'm in a tux again. You know, it's like cool. And that's kind of his thing. But that, beyond that, it's like, you got the henchman. Cool. You're always going to have the henchman. And I did think, like, Bautista, I was like, yeah, he ain't dead. Because his death is
they wrap
and
up.
And he was really good. He's too
he
good
really
of a henchman.
Like, we'll see him again. Just like we saw Jaws again. Yeah. It's like, he'll be back. And then eventually they'll make him a good guy.
Did that make Jaws a good guy?
Yep, Moonraker. Hated it.
Oh, really?
Hated it. Man, yeah, like all of a sudden.
You're a
like
wrestling
Jaws
fan. How could you get a villain becoming a good guy?
I mean, they bring Jaws back.
Oh, they brought Jaws back, and then eventually he was a good guy. I was like, oh.
And then they turn him into a shark, and it's really weird.
And then James Bond jumped over him.
Are you talking about Moonraker starring Ben Affleck and Matt Damon?
Yeah.
There is also, they've timed this perfectly. Boom Studios, I think, just put out a brand new James Bond comic book written by Warren Ellis.
What are the odds?
It came out Wednesday. This came out on Friday.
How about that?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think this is. I don't know. We'll see.
It's a number three entry for me. Like it's the in the four.
Yeah.
It's a number three.
I would agree with that for sure.
I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was fantastic. Especially it kind of sucks that, you know, it came off such a high note, and then this one gets stuck with fan service, and
they needed to tighten it up. So
I agree. Yeah, they did.
But Dan, do you have a video recovery for
us? Yeah, it's kind of, we talked about it, is Never Say Never Again, which is sort of the catalyst behind this movie taking so long to get made, is because I think it was in 83, the rights to Thunderball and to Spectre and to Blofeld were held up by Kevin McClory, who's the guy who sort of had the drunken night with Ian Fleming.
Right.
I mean, I'm diminishing.
They don't talk about that night.
Yeah, but they, yeah. They, yeah. Anyway, that's where Blofeld came from.
Yeah.
there was a lawsuit, and essentially he had the rights to Thunderball. So they're like, well, we'll just remake Thunderball. And you know what? We're going to bring back Sean Connery. So Sean Connery, who had famously said he would never again play James Bond.
He was old, too.
This is a weird, like, if you ever get a chance to watch this, it's a James Bond movie. And this does show you, like, as much as, like, you know, we're kind of like goofing on this movie, you can see a James Bond movie that is you know, in every way, a James Bond movie. It is a remake of Thunderball with the original James Bond, and it does not feel right. Kim Basinger's the love interest.
Is Mr. Bean in this?
Max von, I think he is. Max von Sydow plays Blofeld, and it is just funky. Like, I rewatched parts of it, and I was like, I don't think I
is
can
that
watch
so. Is that so? They were just released like a Bond. 50.
This was released the same year as Octopussy,
right? But like, and so
they, it was weird.
MGM released like a big old Blu-ray box set that had everything. Is that included?
No, I didn't think so.
This is not, this is not canon at all.
Kind of like the original Casino Royale.
In fact, it was, and when it happened, there was like, Connery had had some bad blood with, like, and it like festered. I think Connery's just a, an angry man, but but like, he had bad blood when he left, and he and Cubby Broccoli, actually when Cubby Broccoli, who died, when he was on his deathbed, they actually made amends and talked to each other, and it took a long time because there was some animosity, and the animosity only grew when this happened because it was like,
he was trying to undermine their franchise.
Yeah, he's trying to, they're trying to like make these movies, and of course they're like putting out Octopussy, and then Connery comes strolling back in with a hairpiece and
right,
and a sound, and it's directed by Irving Kershner, who, you know,
oh wow,
yeah,
directed by Irving Kershner.
This really jazzy soundtrack. It just is weird, but it is, that movie is another reason why there was such bad blood, and it just furthered escalated the lawsuits. Till just a few years ago, when they finally settled, the McClory estate and the Fleming estate and the Broccoli estate, and they all settled, and
they were able to get the rights to Spectre and Blofeld.
But that does make me really wonder if they, at this point, if they're just going to start doing the new movies.
I don't know.
Or start back at the beginning.
I honestly, that doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people would hate that.
It's been a long time. When did that first one come out?
50 years.
65, 64?
We're at, we're at 50
You could do a remake
mark.
Of Dr. No.
Yeah.
It like, came out so long ago that Connery makes a crack about how crazy this new band, the Beatles, are.
Yes.
In the movie?
And it's in Dr. No, isn't it? He makes a crack
about
the Beatles are, you know, that's how
fantastic.
Long ago this movie came out.
So, I mean, if you really want to see an odd take on James Bond with James Bond, check that out.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it for Spectre. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
I'm Blake Fail. You can find me on Twitter at EpicFail, F-E-H-L.
I'm Dan Graney. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
I'm Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And I'm Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you would like to continue the conversation online, we will be there waiting for you at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or at our website, RealSpoilers.com, or you can email us at RealSpoilers@ReviewSTL.com. If you like what you hear while you're on the Facebook page or Twitter or whatnot, feel free to share it with your friends. We greatly appreciate it, and it helps us tremendously. We're also available on iTunes, so go there, rate and review, and subscribe to us. Again, that also helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. So I believe that's everything. And I don't know what we're doing next week. I already closed my laptop, so I'm not going to look. And until next time, Austin beats the assassin with a penis bone. I recorded every movement and plotted how to seize.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.